ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
And it's not that God gets it right most of the time, or 99% of the time, or even 99.9% of the time. He gets it right 100% of the time. Why? Because God knows the beginning from the end. He knows all things. No one else can do that, only God. So I'll trust him. Not one of his bones were broken, and they shall look on him whom they pierced. As we read on here, we're going to see something very interesting. I call it no longer hidden faith. Look at John 19, verse 38. And this, after this, excuse me, Joseph of Arimathea being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission, so he came and took the body of Jesus. And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. So two men, secret followers of Jesus, are stepping forward to care for the body of Jesus. We see a man named Joseph. He was from Arimathea, about 20 miles northwest of Jerusalem. And he was a rich man. Matthew 27:57. Now when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. Now, Matthew tells us not only was Joseph rich, but Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but more of a closet Christian before this event. Not only that, but we're told in Mark and Luke, that Joseph was a member of the council. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. These guys had a lot of power. And remember, there is a couple within that group that were disputing with the rest of them about Jesus. Are you a disciple too? No, you know, you don't want to get in trouble with the Sanhedrin. They can ruin your life. So he was a member of this Jewish religious Supreme Court, you might say. And he was waiting for the kingdom of God. Again, Mark tells us that. And also he was a good man in Luke 23. He was good and just. He had not consented to their counsel indeed, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. So he was a good man who loved the Lord, but he was afraid to let his faith be seen. And then there is Nicodemus. We all know Nicodemus from, you know, John chapter 3. He's the one that went to Jesus at night. And to me, the easiest way to remember this is he was Nick at night. So it's very easy to remember that story. And he was part of the Sanhedrin as well. But again, he was afraid to make his faith in Jesus known. But here, this is completely changed now. And from reading this, I think both Nicodemus and Joseph took the body of Jesus off the cross. They had to first go to Pilate and say, hey, can we take the body of Jesus off? Wow, that took a lot of guts. And then to actually do it, there were still people hanging around, I'm sure. And I'm sure the talk was going, hey, aren't these guys members of the Sanhedrin? What are they doing with the body of Jesus? Why are they taking it down? You see, what was in secret before is now open for all to see. And what they had to do, man, they had to remove the nails from his hands and feet. They'd have to take the bloody beaten body of Jesus off that cross and bring it to the grave to be buried. And yet they are now willing to do that, to sacrifice for the Lord. And again, they were in a hurry to do it because the High Holy Day was going to begin. And keep in mind, the Romans didn't care about the criminals that were crucified. A lot of times they just left them on the cross as determined for others to see, hey, look, you know, you cross Rome, this is going to happen to you. The animals would eat their bodies, the birds peck them. Finally, they took them down, put them in a common grave. They didn't care. They were just criminals. And that's what they saw of Jesus as he was being crucified, as a criminal. But again, for the Jews, they thought the proper burial was very important. And that's what we see with Joseph and Nicodemus here, to care for the body of Jesus. And they wrapped him in cloth and spices, placed it in the garden tomb, one Joseph had made for him and his family, but was never used. Well, used by Jesus for 3 days, that's all. Isaiah 53:9, they made his grave with the wicked. We saw that with the two criminals, one on either side of Jesus, but with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. So here was the rich man's tomb, Joseph's tomb, where they placed the body of Jesus. Now, I don't know where anyone is at this morning, but maybe you're afraid, like Joseph and Nicodemus were, hiding your faith. You're afraid of what others may think of you, what others may say because of your faith. But, you know, I hate to use this expression, but it's time to come out of the closet, you might say. And don't care what others think. How much do you love the Lord? Will he see you through anything? I'm not saying life isn't going to be difficult. It will be. I mean, think about what they're talking about in Israel right now. If you preach Jesus, this is in Israel, you're going to jail. Wow. Isn't it interesting they don't say, if you teach about Buddha or Muhammad or whatever, you'll go to jail. No, if you teach about Jesus, you're going to go to jail. Why? Because Jesus is the living God. The others aren't. They don't care about that. The devil could care less about that. He's not going to influence people to react like that. Well, Jesus, yeah. Live out our faith. Let people see how much we love the Lord. Oh, there's a story about a sterling silver tea set that this person's family member gave them as a reminder of her love for them. And it was beautiful. It was old. And there it is in the dining room. But there's a problem. They couldn't use it because the person that gave it to them had chemically coated it so it wouldn't tarnish. You couldn't use hot water. It just ruined the finish. And here's the point. God's not looking for sterling silver tea sets. He's looking for rough and tumble clay pots, the kind that can be used every day. In other words, he's looking for us. You know, we think, oh man, if I just was a little, you know, knew the Bible more or was doing better in my Christian walk, or if I'm doing, let me let you in on a little secret. You will never be good enough. You will never be smart enough. God can use you still. None of us will be. Because you know what? As soon as we think we are, that's pride. God's not going to use that. He uses the humble. And he doesn't want us to be put in some cabinet for display. He wants us to be out into the world to be used. Yeah. We have to let our light shine. We're seeing it here with Joseph and Nicodemus. They had come to the point in their faith now. You know what? We got to take care of our Lord. We love him. And I don't care who sees us. We're taking his body down. We're going to care for him, prepare him for burial. No longer hidden faith. Well, this morning as we finish up, we're going to look at the king is buried. Look at verse 40 here in John chapter 19. Then they took the body of Jesus and bound it in strips of linen with the spices as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So there they laid Jesus because of the Jews' preparation day, for the tomb was nearby. Now, if you ever go to Israel or see pictures of this area, outside the city is Calvary, or the place of the skull, Golgotha, and it looks like a skull cut into the rock. You can look at the pictures. I got pictures of the burial tomb and Golgotha on the studies here, so you can just look on the internet and click on the study, and the back of the study are all the pictures. But just to the side of Calvary, just to the side of Golgotha, this place of the skull, is a garden tomb where they placed the body of Jesus. And I'll tell you what, of all the places I was, my wife and I, we went to so many places. You know, we actually had a slogan. We wanted to make a T-shirt. We ran where Jesus walked tour, because that's pretty much what we did. We were here, there, and everywhere. But once you get to the garden tomb, it is really quiet. Everyone is just moved. This is the place where my Lord was buried, what he did for me. It's a very moving place. And what we're told here is that Joseph and Nicodemus not only took the body of Jesus off the cross, but then after preparing the body for burial, they put Jesus in this tomb, and then they're going to roll a stone in front of it. Again, in a hurry because the Feast of Unleavened Bread is about to begin. It was almost sundown. And the Jews didn't bury bodies in the ground, but in a tomb, a cave cut into the rock. And a typical tomb of this type had a small entrance and one or more compartments where bodies were laid. Now, what's interesting is when you go into this garden tomb, the place where I believe Jesus was buried, if you go to the right, this is where they have little cutouts for the bodies to be placed. So that, remember, this is for Joseph and his family. And to the left is a mourning area where family members would sit to mourn their loved ones. It's incredible. It's an incredible place. And what they would do is they would wrap these bodies in linen and spice, ointments, and they left these bodies alone for a few years until they decayed down to the bones, and then they placed bones in a small stone box or ossuary, and it remained in the tomb for other family members to come and mourn over their loved ones, respect them. And it usually, the door to the tomb was made of a heavy circular-shaped stone. It ran in a groove, and it went kind of a little bit on a downhill angle, so the tomb was secure. People couldn't just come and move it. It took several people to move this big stone. Now, the Apostle John tells us that these strips of cloth were wound around Jesus' torso, arms, and legs, and that a separate piece of cloth was used to cover his head, leaving his face exposed. Now, keep that in mind. A separate cloth was used to cover his face. The reason I say that is I'm sure some of you at least have heard about the shroud of Turin. They say it's the burial cloth of Jesus, and it, you know, gives a picture of Jesus' body on this cloth, his head, torso, legs. What is this shroud of Turin? Well, this, first of all, it resides in the Cathedral of St. John the Baptist in Turin, Italy. It's been there for over four centuries. And what is on this cloth is this faint, yellowed image of a naked, crucified man. And many millions and millions of Christians believe it's the burial cloth of Jesus of Nazareth. I personally don't believe that. I don't think it is. There's a lot of evidence, and I'll show you in a minute. But it is a big deal. And I'll just share with you what one article said. A new scientific method revealed that the Shroud of Turin may truly originate from the first century, around the time of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Italian scientist Liberato Di Caro told the National Catholic Register that his fabric test showed the shroud is roughly 2,000 years old. Di Caro and his colleagues made the discovery by utilizing a technique called wide-angle X-ray scattering. The shroud is located in the Cathedral of St. John the Baptist in Turin, Italy. It depicts the image of a crucified man, and scientists and experts have studied it for a long time in an attempt to determine if it could have been the burial cloth of Jesus. Again, millions have seen it, and they believe it is. But what is John telling us here? It doesn't seem to fit the picture of what this cloth is. Jesus was wrapped in these strips of linen, and his face is covered with a separate piece of linen. So to me, I don't think it fits the picture. Does it meet the evidence, or is it just emotional that people believe it? Well, it's emotional. Now, if you believe in the Shroud of Turin, I'm not going to come down hard against you. I'm just telling you, look at the evidence. You know, what people have done with evolution is they believe everything that's being said, and they don't look at the evidence. You know, when you look at creationists and evolutionists, we all have the same evidence before us, don't we? I mean, you look at the Grand Canyon, we all see the same evidence. Evolutionists believe it was a river that cut a hole a mile deep over millions of years. For the creationists, we look and go, wow, look at the layers of that rock. They're sedimentary layers. Sedimentary layers are laid down by water. So if there was a flood and these layers settled out over time, a small river could have cut a huge hole in the ground like that. See, same evidence, different conclusions. Same with the Shroud of Turin. Look at it. And again, there's a big debate. Was it from the first century? Many believe it was much later than that. But again, Jesus is wrapped in linen, right? Strips of linen, his whole body, and a cloth placed over his face. Is that the Shroud of Turin? No. And again, I have a picture of that that you'll see if you go to the webpage, or you can look it up on your own. What's interesting is this tomb, this garden tomb, was not discovered until 1867 by this godly British Army officer named General Gordon. He first thought he just found a cave, because there's lots of caves in Israel. But when they examined this so-called cave, they discovered it was a man-made burial chamber that was hewn out of stone. And it was a rich man who made the burial chamber because it had two compartments to it. And that's how the rich buried or built burial chambers. In fact, of this, we're told, when the garden tomb was discovered in 1867, the godly General Gordon was convinced that this was the place where the body of Jesus had lain. The garden tomb, hidden for centuries, was discovered with rubbish 20 feet high. When they first cleared the spot, with great caution, they gathered all the dust and debris within the tomb and carefully shipped it to the Scientific Association of Great Britain with this question: are there any traces of decomposition in these samples? After everything was carefully analyzed, they sent word back to General Gordon: after careful examining the samples you sent us, we have concluded that there is absolutely no traces of human decomposition or decay in them. So Jesus was only in the tomb for 3 days. His body didn't decay. This was not a burial tomb for other people. There's no evidence for that. And it's, again, just as the scriptures say, with the rich at his death. Now, I kind of find it interesting that Joseph was willing to give a burial tomb that was for him and his family away. You know, they did not have equipment like we have today to dig out this cave and make this chamber. So it probably cost them a lot of money, a lot of time. But we know that this is Joseph's burial tomb, because Matthew 27, verses 59 and 60. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. Wow. You know, again, I am amazed at how accurate the scriptures are. He was buried in the tomb of a rich man. Again, keep in mind, the Romans would throw these bodies of these crucified criminals, and again, they considered Jesus a criminal, into a common grave. Just threw them in there. I don't know if you've seen the footages of the Holocaust and how the Germans had pushed these dead Jewish bodies into mass graves. That's what Rome would do, is put them in a big grave and leave them there. They didn't care if animals ate the flesh or what. It didn't bother them at all. But Joseph now and Nicodemus come, care for this body of Jesus, place him there in the tomb. The king is buried, and now they departed. But also remember that some of the women were watching what Joseph and Nicodemus were doing, because there's also the story that the women went to the wrong tomb, which I think is hilarious. Because if it said that I was going to go to the wrong tomb, I'd believe it. I get lost very easily. You should see me on some of my runs. Where am I? How do I get back home? You know, praise God, my Garmin has a little map on it. Go this way. Okay, thank you. They saw where the body of Jesus was placed. They knew. So they didn't go to the wrong tomb. Keep that in mind. Now, here's the also interesting thing. The Jewish religious leaders did not believe Jesus was going to rise from the dead. But they heard what he said, and they were concerned. Jesus said he was going to rise the third day, and they thought, one of his disciples is going to steal the body of Jesus, and we have to do something to prevent that from happening, because then we're going to have a huge problem. And so Matthew 27, verses 62 through 66, it says, on the next day, which followed the day of preparation, The chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember while he was still alive how that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people he has risen from the dead. So the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard, so go your way. Make it as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. So the religious leaders were listening to what Jesus said. They didn't believe it was going to rise, but they were going to steal the body. Jesus' own men didn't even hear that part. They just heard that he was going to die. Pretty much, they didn't think about that third day. And so they come to Pilate for the solution of the problem. Pilate gives them guards that they need. And the tomb is sealed with the Roman seal, a string and wax. Why? So if it was opened, if the seal was broken, and you were caught doing it, you'd be put to death. And I think this was a Roman guard detail, not a Jewish guard. In fact, France said, "It's unlikely that the Jews would have needed Pilate's permission at all to deploy their own police." Moreover, the word for guard is uniquely, in the New Testament, a transliteration of the Latin word custodia. It is therefore more likely that it was Pilate's troops who were used. The Jewish leaders are going for maximum security. Absolutely. And a Roman guard detail varied from 4 to 16 men, with 16 in overnight duty. A group of 4 men took the watch for about 3 hours, and 4 men were awake at all times, and the 4 on guard would watch over the whatever they were guarding. Here it was the tomb. And you had 16 guys. Most of them are asleep. 4 are on duty, okay? If anyone stole the body or opened the seal, you as a Roman soldier would be put to death for allowing that to happen. There was a little incentive to stay awake, to pay attention to what was going on. And thus, these guys were there to make sure no one came and stole the body of Jesus. Now, it's kind of funny if you think about it. When you look at the disciples of Jesus, they're all in fear, right? Do you really think they're going to sneak in at night, past the guards, and steal the body of Jesus? They have to roll a one-ton stone away. None of the guards would see it or wake up, and the 4 that were standing there, what were they doing, daydreaming? It's interesting. So here it is. The tomb is secure. No one is going in. I shouldn't say no one's coming out, because someone is coming out. Sunday morning's coming. How devastating it was. Jesus put to death, but Sunday was coming. And for us in our own lives, the cross and the power of the resurrection are really closely related. We have to die to self to see the power of God work in our lives. And next time we're going to see Jesus triumph over death. I love the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 through 22. "But now Christ is risen from the dead, has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." Amen to that. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, paying in full the penalty for our sins. He rose the third day, showing us that we too will one day rise. These bodies of flesh will, yes, go back to the dust of the earth, but God is preparing a new body for our spirit and soul to dwell in. Because he lives, so will we. And there's the hope, there's the promise, there's the joy that we have. What an amazing story. And we're not done yet. We still have a few chapters to go. So probably in about 3.5-4 years we'll be done. No. But there's so much here for us to glean from that, again, we're just taking our time going through this gospel because I think it's that important. We've seen that Jesus is Almighty God who went to the cross to die for our sins and rose the third day. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. And Lord, your love is amazing. I can't imagine all that you did for us, and we're so unworthy. And yet that's how much you love us and care for us. Care for every single person on this planet. And Lord, as your representative here, your ambassador, may we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Lord, we are to be that light, that your glory shining in this temple, our bodies, for others to see. We love you. Help us to live for you, not to be closet Christians hiding our faith, but to be bold, have that empowering by the Spirit, speak forth the gospel. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.